in Seattle,
Seattle.
And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you,
because
we're the realtors
that you can trust.
So go to RodandConcertDown.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to the Friday edition of the Ron and Don Show. On Fridays, we just talk real estate. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, yeah, it's Ron and Don, and we talk sports, and we talk specific Northwest. We do talk real estate sometimes, but just a lot of things about pop culture, things we're learning, things as parents and people. And we appreciate you guys listening to either our radio show or a podcast for the last 30 years. Unbelievable. Very, very appreciative for that. And you have a lot of things that you can listen to now. So the fact that you tune into us, this, especially since we've been on terrestrial radio now the last 5-6 years, we have great appreciation for that. And also, thanks for making us your friends. Thanks for making us your broadcasters. And thank you for a lot of you making us your realtors and making us a part of your real estate journey. So speaking of terrestrial radio, when we were on terrestrial radio at Cairo, one of the first calls we made was to a young lady by the name of Rachel Bell, who was over, we had worked on radio with her before, but she was a reporter. She had moved to Japan. She was teaching English over there. And we said, hey, we'd love for you to come back. We'd love for you to be on terrestrial radio with us. And we're not going to send you out like you're going to be assigned reporter to our show. We're not going to send you out to cover murders and dumpster fires. We're going to just send you out to cover stories that ring your bell. So we started this segment called Ring My Bell. Out of that, she created a podcast called Your Last Meal. Since then, she has left Cairo. She now, I think, is in the process of writing a cookbook. She continues to do the podcast. And then on top of that, she works at a local, is it the local PBS station?
Cascade PBS.
Yeah. And now, I've been waiting for this, you guys. Follow her on Instagram, Rachel Bell, B-E-L-L-E, because, and this is going to be something she's going to be great at, and this thing's going to blow up on the internet. It's going to do really well, because when you put her in, even when you put her in front of a microphone, she's really something. But when you put her in front of a microphone and a camera, she's a triple threat. There's no doubt about it. Maybe a quadruple threat. So anyway, my understanding is she had this party. The party, she's talking about her new TV show. Did she debut the TV show?
We saw the first episode on Bagels in Seattle. It's called The Nosh,
yeah,
with Rachel Bell. And I believe it's streaming on Cascade PBS, or you can watch it on your PBS channel.
What did you think of the show?
It was great. Like, it was really good. It's about a 10-minute show,
yeah,
and they run it in between other PBS programs. And so I think this first iteration, there are like 4 or 5 episodes, and they're already signed her on to do 8 more for next season. So
cool.
It's cool, man. It's really cool.
Yeah. So make sure you check that out. Anyway, Ron's at this party, and people start peppering you. And I know I'm finding this when I go out too, whether people are our clients or our friends, family members. They want to talk about this lawsuit with NAR. They want to talk about compensation, and people have a lot of questions. And you said at this party for Rachel's kind of, hey, let's introduce everyone to the Nosh. People were wanting to talk about this lawsuit, right?
Yeah,
what were some of the questions people were
asking? At least 6 or 8 people that brought this up. And so I wrote this up on my socials right now. I think we're going to send it out in our Ron and Don Nation newsletter as well. But these are the most frequent questions I had at this party. And the first one is, what is a realtor? And so this, in a sense, is important to understand for the entire topic of this lawsuit. The realtor is a brand name from the National Association of Realtors. It's a membership trade group, all right? And they do a lot of political lobbying nationally and locally. And realtor is like Xerox, all right? So you can have a copy machine that's not a Xerox, but you can have a real estate agent that is not a realtor. And so to become a realtor, you pay dues to the NAR and they say, now you can use the word realtor. So several years ago, I opted out of NAR. The firm that we started with demanded that we become a realtor and pay, I think it was almost $700 a year in dues to the NAR so that you could call yourself a realtor. I didn't, when this lawsuit started pending and then there was some sexual impropriety allegations against the president of the NAR, I said, I'm out. I am not a member anymore. I do not pay dues and I don't call myself a realtor. I call myself a managing broker.
So real quick, were there any benefits to being a part of that NAR, or were you just were you just saving yourself $700, or were you really taking the stand against that?
Part of it is to save the $700 because some of the lobbying efforts I disagreed with. Like, they were fighting this lawsuit really hard. And when I saw them, I went to a seminar on this by the NAR. And when I'm listening to the presenter, I'm like, dude, I think you're wrong. I think this case has merit and I think you're going to lose. When I listened to it was an NAR presenter. And I was like, I disagree. And so at that point, but yeah, I'm also cheap and like I didn't see $700 worth of benefits.
But we were working for a big brokerage and part of the contract is, and they would remind you that, hey, you signed on to be with NAR. And also a lot of these big brokerages, it's to their advantage that you sign on with NAR and that you support these bigger commissions, because a lot of these brokerages, they want parts of those commissions because they charge their realtors a lot to be a part of these big brokerages. And to the benefit, they're providing an office, they're providing a managing broker, sometimes they're providing legal advice. They're not providing paper, though, because, man, every time I use a piece of paper, boy, was I spent a lot of money on that. And then on top of that, they want to split, and then some of them want to split, and then they also want a desk fee every month. Some of these big brokerages out there, as I shared before, it's like McDonald's. They're not trying to make hamburgers. They're trying to just own the building that the McDonald's is, or they're trying to own the building that the McDonald's is on, and they're trying to own the land underneath it. And so some of these big brokerages, they pay for that by having these real estate businesses, but a lot of them are really in the commercial real estate business because they own lots of these properties. So that becomes a driver. So anyway, what were some of the questions? And I know that there's some big brokerages out there that are very concerned about this because they're concerned about agents now walking away and saying, hey, I can't afford to pay you these big commissions anymore because maybe I'm not making these big commissions anymore.
So what does the NAR do? In addition to lobbying, in a lot of markets, they control the listings. So if you think about pre-internet days, how would you get listings for houses? Well, in many markets, that was the NAR. So the NAR would create and control the database of listings, and they would require you to become a dues-paying member before you could access the listings. And so that's how they grew their membership to, at its peak, 1.5 million real estate agents were paying dues to the NAR, because in a lot of markets, if you weren't a member, you couldn't access the listings. And so so that is going on still in many, many markets in America where the NAR owns the multiple listing service. And to become access to those listings, you have to be a realtor and you have to pay those fees. In the state of Washington, our multiple listing service, our MLS, is not owned by the NAR. And so you do not have to be a realtor to gain membership to the listing service. And so you can be a member of the MLS here by just paying your dues to the MLS, and you don't have to be a realtor. So to get that out a little bit and say, well, what is this lawsuit about? The lawsuit and the settlement offer that was going on was consumers in other markets, in other states, that were suing NAR-controlled listing services. And so the state of Washington was not a party to that suit. We were not named in that lawsuit because we weren't owned and controlled by the NAR. But in Missouri, where this happened, in Kansas City and in some other cities, those MLSs, those multiples, were controlled by the NAR. So the lawsuits that we saw flying around were between consumers, in NAR-controlled lawsuits. And what these consumers were alleging is that they created a system, the NAR, where they were colluding among the big brokerages to keep commissions artificially high. That was the number one thing that they were alleging, is because you control the database and because you require everyone to pay dues to you, you are incentivized to collude with each other to keep the commissions at 6%. And then they said the other thing that we're alleging in the lawsuit is because of the way this is set up, you are forcing sellers to pay the compensation for a buyer's agent as a part of the rules of these NAR-owned multiples.
So those are the allegations, and then through the course of the trial, the court decided it was true, correct?
Well, the lawsuit they found in favor for the consumers. So NAR lost, and so if you go and you read the actual case, it is. NAR, it's Berkshire Hathaway of Missouri, Keller Williams, which is a national brokerage, and a couple other brokerages that are named in the lawsuit. And it says, and then the question that I would get when I was talking to folks at Rachel's party is, but you just said Washington's not a part of that. They're not owned by the NAR, and that is correct. And so what does that mean here locally? Well, for the state of Washington, those two big major concerns have already been established. The state of Washington, the legislators here and our multiple saw this. This has been working through the courts for years. They saw this coming and said, we need to change. We need to get out ahead of this and change our policy because this suit has legs. These allegations have merit. And so they did a couple of changes. Number one, for the past 4 years or so, a seller in Washington had the right to not pay any compensation to a buyer's brokerage. So that is not new in the state of Washington. It's still new. And if this lawsuit is settled in July, there's going to be tons of states where it'll be the very first time that that a seller would not be obligated to pay that compensation. But in Washington, you've already been allowed to do that. But they updated the legislation and the form in January to be way more explicit to conform with the allegations.
Because a lot of times what brokers would do, sometimes brokers, especially newer brokers, didn't even understand this themselves. You would have brokerages that would say, hey, at certain price points, it has to be a certain percentage. So yeah, if it's anywhere between 0 and 1.5 million, it's got to be 3% on both sides. If it's on the other side of 1.5 million, we want to see 2.5%. If it's an $8 million, we want to see at least 2%. So there's brokerages out there that had these rules within the brokerages, and the managing brokers would enforce those. And they would call you and get on the phone and say, hey, it's at this price point, it needs to be this percentage. And so you had a lot of brokers that were not having these conversations about compensation, sometimes because they didn't understand them. Because to go out and get a license is not hard, you guys, in the state of Washington. It's just not. And there's a lot of people go get it because they think it's free money. They're going to buy real estate. They're going to become rich. They watch late night television. And then after, you know, they sell their Aunt Jan's house, they're like, damn, this is a really hard, tough business. How am I going to make a living doing this? And what you have to understand, there's other brokers out there. Most of the time, you are going on a journey with someone that doesn't take 10 hours. It takes 110 hours. And most of the time, especially when you're on the sales side and you're taking over a house, most homes aren't ready to sell. Most homes need a lot of time and tenderness and cash invested in those homes. And you want to have a professional real estate agent that understands that. The good thing about this lawsuit is now this professional real estate agent that you're hiring, they have to have this conversation with you ahead of time about this is how compensation works. These are your rights when it comes to compensation. And this is my fiduciary duty to you to do what's best for you and not what's best for me. In the real estate industry, some of these bigger brokerages were doing what was best for them and what was best for their broker and what was best for their pocketbooks and not what was best for you. But I have to say, the agents that I know that I'm close to, whether they work in big brokerages here or not, they take their fiduciary duty very seriously, and the money they make because of the people that they have to pay from the deal. A lot of times they're employing 25 to 35 people in the deal. They're creating lots of jobs. They're spending lots of money. They deserve the money they make. But there's some people out there that just went and got a license one night and again, sold their Aunt Judy or Jennifer's house, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. That is not a professional real estate broker.
So there is a provision with the Department of Justice where they're going to go to these independent MLSs and offer them a settlement terms to shield them from future class action lawsuits. That has not happened yet, but many legal minds in the state of Washington think that that is most likely what our MLS will do, is say, hey, Department of Justice, we don't want to get sued. Look at us. We've been compliant. We're doing what you asked us to do. And they'll say, we'll pay this penalty into this class action thing, and we will shield you from future legislation. So we don't know if that's going to happen. But if I was going to wager on that, I would say most likely that makes sense for the Northwest MLS to work with the Department of Justice and to comply with this settlement agreement. If it's approved, it's still pending, and they've already implemented many of the things in there. There'll be some details that they have to work out with the DOJ, but it makes sense that they will most likely do that.
Yeah, and the bottom line is this. If you're a better real estate broker than I am, if you're a better agent than I am, you don't have to have a license. Take me on. Meet me at the negotiation table on the buyer or the seller side. Bring it on. I have seen people try to do that. They don't leave tens of thousands, but sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table. It is very unique here in the state of Washington because think about this, where I grew up in Gurnee, Illinois, a $35,000 house where I grew up is maybe worth $100,000 to $110,000 today, that same house, right? That house here, if I take that house in Gurnee, Illinois, that $35,000 house, and I bring it here to the neighborhood I live in, that house starts at $1.5 million. Now, you have builders out there that want to buy it, so you have to understand zoning. Should you sell to a builder? You get these letters in the mail. Is it better to sell to someone that's sending you a letter? And you know what I'm talking about, because a lot of you out there get those letters, because there's something out there called Deal Machine, and people are stalking you, right? Especially if you haven't sold your home in a while. They can see that you haven't sold it. They can see if you're older. And they can also see that you may owe your home free and clear, own your home free and clear. And so it may be advantageous to you, instead of bringing it to market with a real estate broker, because the highest and best use of your house may be to tear it down, right? So then along comes the builder, and they're saying, we're going to tear it down. You're like, I have too many memories here. There's nostalgia. I raised my family here. I will sell you the home as long as you don't tear it down. It happened on the corner up here. The young woman who sold this house in her 70s was willing to sell it to the builder for hundreds of thousands of dollars less, because this particular builder promised not to tear it down. A couple days after they closed on that house got torn to the ground. She lives down the street now in a backyard cottage, was brokenhearted. She gave away $325,000 because she didn't walk out down the street and knock on my door and say, Don, I know you're a great real estate agent. I need some advice. This broker or this builder sent me a letter. This is happening all over Washington right now, and certainly all over Seattle, the east side, the north, and the south end, because all the zoning changes that have happened, and we are seeing builders step in, see these letters, and as a result of this, people are leaving lots of money on the table. Also, many people end up bringing a home to market. It is your real estate agent's job to make sure that that thing is turnkey and that it looks amazing. Your pictures online should tell a story. You should make sure that people can do a 3D walkthrough of your house. If someone is not flying a drone over your house and paying someone to do that and making sure that your place has been beautifully staged, if it's not beautifully staged, you're leaving 17 to 20% on the table. The list goes on. A lot of these things brokers end up paying for, and sometimes Ron and I have done this for a client. client. We got paid back at the not enough at the closing table. We had to pull out almost $100,000 of our own money to put it on the table to bring this house to market in order to sell this home because there were so many things wrong with it. So lots of homes around here have deferred maintenance, meaning people haven't kept up. When you ask them the number one question, when's the last time you serviced your furnace? Huh? How do you feel about putting in splits? What's a split? How is your HVAC system? What is that? How do you feel about heat pumps? What kind of insulation do you have in this place? What is happening with your pier and post foundation? It seems to be failing. Was your foundation, was it poured by a cement mixer or did someone just come in with a wheelbarrow like a lot of the homes here and say, what? Has your home been strapped down in case of an earth? What? How old is your roof and how much longer do you think? And what is the granulation that is on your, what? So anyway, when's the last time you cleaned it? What? Gutters? Huh? The list goes, well, how's your sewer look? What? Do you know it's $18,000 to $30,000 to clean your sewer? Does your sewer need to be turbo cleaned? Or does your sewer need to be relined? Or does your sewer just have a couple roots in it and we're going to remedy and pass this along? That's the kind of real estate agent you need on both sides because they need to be able to look at that sewer scope. They need to be able to look at an inspection. Should a house be inspected? What's a Form 17? What do you do in a situation where you need the 22 AD and you need it now? I'm going to go up against somebody that's not an agent that's selling their own house or they're going to be their own buyer and they don't know what a 22 AD is and they are in trouble. Because what are you going to do when the bank shows up and everybody's looking around going, hey, non-real estate agent, why didn't you provide the 22 AD? Or what if a deal goes down and where's the 17? Well, in this 17, did we need an estate sale? I don't know because the person had died and there was a reverse mortgage on this house. Why would we need a 17 or a 22 AD? Well, on the inspection response, I sent you a 35. Where is the 35, non-real estate agent? See what I'm saying? And radio is the same way. We're going to stop down at 6. We're going to sweep it to 4. When we get to 31, we're going to pop out. We're going to go 17. And then on the other side of that, we're going to pay the bills and we're going to win those quarter hours. If you know what you're doing, whether it's in radio or whether it's in real estate, and you've worked hard at it, you deserve to be paid. Because most of what I just said about radio and real estate, none of you understand. And you could get behind this microphone right now and you could do the same thing to me when it comes to law, right? Or when it comes to the job that you have in tech or when it comes to running a childcare. I don't know anything about that. I'm just trying to raise a child. So people deserve to get paid that have an expertise, right? But now they have to explain what their expertise is. They have to show you their expertise. And I'm just really glad this is going to flush out a lot of the people that don't have that expertise. They just went and got a state license and they have made the rest of us look really bad. Your thoughts?
So I think the final point that people ask me is like, oh, so are buyer's agents not going to get paid anymore? And it's like, no, they'll get paid. It's going to evolve as this lawsuit gets settled and as the different MLSs come to terms with what it means. But there will be a mechanism, as you just referenced, people that do a good job deserve to get paid. Will it look exactly like it used to look? Probably not. But there will be something is going to evolve to accommodate the marketplace. And I agree with what you said. If someone has expertise, they deserve to get paid. If you've been represented well, you also as a consumer deserve to talk about it in advance. And if you're uncomfortable, this is the thing I don't get. A lot of people are like, oh, I've had a friend since high school that's an agent. I'm going to use them. And it's like, are they any good? Do they do a good job or not? Or is it just because you've known them for a long time? And so just knowing someone for a long time doesn't necessarily mean that they're good at what they do. And I agree with you that this is going to be a net positive for people to have stuff explained to them, have a working understanding of what you're doing for a very big chunk of money. And I think that this will eventually be settled. And I think that the NAR is going to lose a lot of money, lose a lot of agents that want to be members. And also, I think the Northwest MLS will most likely join in the settlement to shield itself in the future. And we will have to see how stuff evolves over this next year. But in the meantime, like Don said, if you have further questions on this, or you've been wanting to be a buyer or a seller, let's talk about it. We're not afraid to have this conversation. We're not afraid to articulate what it is that we do.
I just had the conversation. Let's move on. Let's go get lunch. Bring it on, man. Bring it on. Just bring on the person not represented on any side of the deal. We'll be ready for that. And the bottom line is, to be honest with you, when Ron and I have run into that, of people not represented, and a lot of times when they're not represented by a real realtor or a very good real estate agent, we work with them to try to keep the deal together, because that's what's best for our client. And a lot of times we sit there and we coach them up and we coax them through the deal. It sucks to have to do that, but I bet in your business, you've had to do that too, right? All of you? Yeah. To keep a business deal together, sometimes you're dealing with somebody that, don't take this personally, but when it comes to their professional knowledge, it doesn't mean they're personally an idiot, but professionally they're an idiot. And there's just been lots of that in our business. So anyway, this will clean that up. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening to these two idiots on the Ron and Don Show. We really appreciate it. Thanks for allowing us to be your broadcasters, really your friends, also your realtors. I haven't had anyone, since we've been doing this with you over the past 5-6 years, come to me and say, hey, you guys weren't worth every penny that we paid you. Or sometimes they say we feel like we haven't paid you enough. And I always agree with them. And if you want a refund, Ron will give you one. I won't. Hell no. Hey, if you need us, ronanddonsitdown.com. We'll sit down with you virtually. We'll come up with a plan for your property. We do sell the sound, so we're everywhere. This week, we have been in Federal Way. We have been down to Tacoma. Ron just got back from Puyallup. We have been over to Bremerton. All the way up. I was back up in Edmonds this week. I always say Edmonton, which would be quite a drive. It really would. Back over to the east side here on Queen Anne, Bremerton. And as we're sitting here now, we just submitted an offer in Columbia City. So anyway, we love working with you. We love connecting with you. And we love that we become lifelong friends. Because a lot of times when you're sitting on this side of the microphone, we never get to meet you. But then we hear your story, especially when my son turned 14 this week. And a lot of you were there when he came into the world 14 years ago. And you let me know that. Thank you for that. Thank you for remembering. And thank you for loving us and caring about us. It means a lot to us, all right? You keep your head up and shoulders back. Anything we can do for you, ronanddonsitdown.com. That's ronanddonsitdown.com, all right? Here comes my son to lock us out. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.